There's a story about a 10-year-old boy who was failing math. His parents had tried everything to get him to do well in school. And if you've ever been in that position, you know, it's unless the child is cooperative, it's really difficult. There's so many different pressures that go on. And everything they did, nothing worked. Finally, out of desperation, they enrolled him in the local Catholic school. To the surprise of his parents, from the first day, the boy spent every night poring over his books. When the first report card came, he received an A in every subject, including math, the one subject he was just horrible in. "Son," his father asked, "what made a difference in your class, especially math? The nuns? The textbooks?" "Dad, you know, I've never taken math seriously before," the boy admitted. "But when I walked in and saw that guy nailed to the plus sign, I knew this place meant business." Well, you know, that's not exactly the message Jesus wants to convey by his life. But if I ask you, what was Christ's message here on earth, what would you say? What was Christ's message? For you being Christians, what was Christ's message here on earth?
Save
world, save people.
God loves us.
God loves us.
Love one another.
Love one another.
Teach the word of God.
Yeah, I mean, all these are right answers. The good news, sharing the gospel, right? We've listed all these things. But what did Jesus say was the very first thing that you should do? What was his message that you need to be involved in? And I want to give you a hint. It's about loving God with everything you have. Well, our answer is found in a very powerful and profound passage. And if you have your insert this morning, I have a number of scripture references in there. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 34. It's a passage you know. If you've read your Bible, you know this well. It's been focused on in different areas. It's an encouraging passage when you're going through difficult times. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." What was Jesus' message while he was here on earth? It's the very thing that John the Baptist preached on immediately. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. John preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." The gospel writers record that Jesus, as he started to preach, his message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, he says, "But seek first." The first thing you should do is be seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. This is to be our number one priority. And Jesus goes on to promise that all these things will be given to you, not just spiritual things, but material things also. Let's pray this morning as we look into this a little bit. Father in heaven, you are the creator of this world, this universe, our bodies. You give us our breath. It's all yours. And the one thing that you want us to do is to give you the honor and glory, to honor you as God and to obey you and do your will, to give you the glory for your power and majesty and holiness. So, Father, as we talk about this subject this morning, about your kingdom, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and help us to understand how this affects our life every day, every moment of every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an interesting story in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to spend the next couple of weeks in Matthew because he focuses on this idea of the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 26 is this interesting story. Jesus has just fed a vast multitude of people through a miraculous event, breaking the fish and the loaves. And the people, their felt needs are being met. They've got food in their belly. And, you know, this was incredible that one man could do this incredible thing. The day is getting late. And Matthew 14, verse 22 begins to record. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Jesus, in this story, sends his most efficient means of transportation away. His goal was to get to the other side eventually. He puts the disciples in the boat and says, "Go." The lake's about 5 or 6 miles across at this point, and the best way to get to the other side is by this boat. And Jesus sends it away to the other side of the lake. If you're going to walk from where Jesus was around the top of the lake to the other side, it's about 15 miles. Now, think about walking 15 miles. You know, if you could do 1 mile an hour, that's if you're in good shape. You know, it would take you 15 hours to get to the other side. Now, think about yourselves. If you were going to walk 15 miles, how would you prepare? What in the world is Jesus doing? He is going to get to the other side, but he sends his disciples in the boat while he stays on this side of the lake. He sends them off because his number one priority was to seek the kingdom of God. And he did this by making spending time alone with God the most important thing, even if it meant sacrificing something. In this case, Christ's sacrifice was sleep because he spent all night talking to God and in prayer. He also sacrificed an easy way to get across the lake. His disciples were gone in the boat. The only way he was going to get across now that we would know of would be to walk. There's no buses. There's nothing else. But in Jesus' mind, because of what he was there to do, it was more important that he spend time with God and not get distracted by all the things that were going on. His commitment to the kingdom meant doing the will of the king. If you remember, you know, Jesus is our Lord. We look to him for our example. And if that was his commitment, that should be our commitment also. Jesus sends his disciples off across to the other side of the lake. And according to the passage of Scripture, apparently he didn't really worry about how he was going to get to the other side. Rather, he was focused on spending time alone, communicating with God to get recharged and refocused on his purpose. I sincerely doubt that he was thinking, "Well, I'll spend a couple hours with God up on the mountainside when everybody's gone, and then I'll just, you know, mosey on across the lake on the water and meet the disciples." I doubt that he was thinking that. His focus, and we see this in multiple different passages, was getting alone, away from the distractions, and spending time with God. He was focused on his desire to talk with God, and so that he would do God's will and allow himself to be directed by God through the Holy Spirit. That's the lesson you've got to see in Jesus. It was all about God, all about his purpose, and he was going to stay focused on that purpose. You know, when he says in Matthew chapter 6, do not worry, this is how he could say that. He didn't have to worry because his focus was on God. You see, if your number one priority is your relationship with God, then what comes next in your life, even daily, is in God's hands. If you're focused on the kingdom of God, the will of God, what comes next is in God's hands. I can't control what happens 5 minutes from now. I better understand it's in God's hands, not mine. Jesus understood this and exemplified this perfectly. There's a saying that goes, the past is past. The future is in God's hands. This moment is all you have, right now, this very moment. He's asking in this moment to seek his kingdom first. As we go through every moment of our life, every day, he's asking that you seek his kingdom, God's will, first. The first thing you do. Because the next moment you can't control. But when the next moment comes, seek his kingdom. And when the next moment comes, seek his kingdom. In everything you do, be seeking the kingdom of God. That's what the gospel writer is telling us. That's what Jesus lived every day as an example. But you know, if seeking the kingdom is not your number one priority, then there is a repeated message in the Old Testament that applies to you. And that message is, if you abandon God's purpose in your life, then you abandon God's help. If you abandon God's purpose in your life, then you abandon God's help. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 23 says, the Lord rewards everyone for their righteousness and faithfulness. If you are embracing God's purpose for your life every moment of the day, keeping God in mind, being focused on the kingdom, wanting to do his will in every situation, then Samuel tells us that the Lord rewards everyone for their righteousness and faithfulness. But if he's not your priority, you know what? Don't expect him to help you. Because he doesn't have a responsibility to help you. If you can't make his kingdom and his will your number one priority in all your decisions, in the way you treat people, the way you live your life, then don't sit back and say, well, God, I don't understand why you're not helping me. If he's not a priority to you. So, Jesus didn't worry about how he was going to get across the lake. He was only concerned about spending time being recharged by God and focusing on God's purpose. That's what we see in the passage. He sent the disciples across the lake. It's where he was going to go. But right now, I got to get close to God. I got to get alone. I got to get separate from the distractions. And I got to spend time recharging and refocusing on what I'm to be doing. God will take care of the next part. That's what you see in this example of Jesus Christ. And at the right moment, just before dawn, he sends the disciples out at dusk, go across the lake in the boat. He spends all night in prayer on the mountainside alone. Just before dawn, he's directed now to do something by the Holy Spirit. And what he does is he walks down to the lake edge and puts his foot in the water and walks across the water instead of around the lake. And he defies the natural law of God by walking on that water because he's directed to do that. Go to the disciples. Jesus lived a life being focused on seeking the kingdom of God. The gospel writers, again, say that. The very first thing he began to preach is repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Seek the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what Jesus did in his life, in all four of the Gospels, for you to see. Because if he's your Lord and you're to follow his example, then he better be living that same example that he's preaching. He was focused on God's will first. And you know what? When we do the same thing he did, when we follow his example, God's going to take care of the rest. He's going to take care of the next moment and the next moment and the next moment, because I can't control that. Now, you know, it's interesting when I was thinking about this. If you and I were the ones standing on the edge of that lake and the disciples were in the boat and going, what would you have done? Oh, give me a bag of that food. Make sure I have a skin of water. I better take my extra cloak, maybe some underwear, you know, because I'm going to be walking 2 days around this lake. I better prepare and make sure I get everything I need to, you know, for those the next 2 days, because that's how it's going to happen. I'm going to go. We would do everything we can to control the next moment and the next moment. But the scripture doesn't say that's what Jesus did at all. He sends them off and he goes up the mountainside to pray and focus on his Father and the kingdom. He wanted to do God's will because God is the King of the kingdom. And Jesus was determined to do the will of the King. And if he is our Lord, our job is to do the will of our Lord Jesus and follow his example in doing the will of the King of the kingdom. And you know what? When you do that, everything will be given to you in the next moment. And the next moment, everything you need. Jesus lived and taught what he lived. He lived what he taught, and he taught what he lived. And in Mark chapter 6, verses 6 through 13, he takes the disciples, and after them watching him live and be an example, he says, okay, now you're going to do what I do. And he sends them out to go to towns and villages and preach the message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And you know what he told them to take with them? Not extra clothes. Not any money. Not a skin of water. Take a staff. Just take a staff with you and go. Because they needed to learn that as they went, God would provide their needs in each moment. Now, it's interesting. Jesus sends them out in Matthew, probably another time. And in the passage in Mark, he sends them out with a staff. The staff was a defensive weapon. Wild dogs, you know, maybe robbers, you know. That's all they have is a staff to defend themselves. But when Jesus sends them out again in Matthew, he says, don't even take a staff this time. You're completely at the mercy of everything, but God is going to protect you. And he teaches them incrementally on how they can trust God and focus on the kingdom to do the will of the King. What an incredible lesson. What an incredible teacher to live what he taught and then teach what he lived to these people. And they learned their lesson well, because we see the lives of the disciples and the end of their lives dying for the cause, dying so that people would understand who Jesus was and who God is. They learned their lesson well. You know, we call ourselves Christians. And when we do that, we're saying that we are aligning ourselves with Jesus Christ. What that means is that we believe that his example, we believe that his thinking and his beliefs are true, and that we want to live by those things and under them. If I'm a Christian, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. That means I want to take the lessons that he is trying to teach me and apply them to my life. Paul in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 states that the Son is the invisible image, is the visible image of the invisible God. He is our physical example on how to live every day and in every situation. So if Jesus' priority was to seek first the kingdom of God, and that's what he taught his disciples in various ways, then it stands to reason that should be our first priority. That's the message. Seek first the kingdom of God, and the salvation, the love, all these other things will follow along. When we do that, everything else is going to follow. And you know, this is also very clearly evident in Jesus' life, as we see God taking care of his every need and directing his life, even to the point of allowing him to break the natural law by taking a shortcut to the other side of the lake by walking on the water. You and I would have walked around the lake. Jesus was focused on the kingdom of God, doing God's will, and God directed him, break natural law and walk across that lake. That's where I'm going to get you across. In the Gospel of Matthew, the writer focuses on this idea that we need to be seeking the kingdom of God first almost 50 times. I think he took it very seriously. I think it was important to him. And I think he learned his lesson really, really well, that this message is powerful and important for us to understand. So I want to challenge you this morning to consider what you seek first. What do you seek first? Is it your own will and desire? And if, wow, they aligned with God's will and desire, I must be doing something good. Or is the first thing you consider, what does God want me to do? And I'm going to modify my desires to fit his will, the King of the kingdom. If it's your own desires, your own will, don't expect God to help you. Samuel tells us that very clearly. The Old Testament tells us that over and over. If you're seeking after God's righteousness and his will, expect his help. If you're seeking after your own will and your own desires, don't expect him to help you. If you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, then all the promises that Scripture tells us are available to us, and you can expect God's help in your life. And I would say, you know, folks, we're all here this morning. There's a lot of things we could be doing. You're here because you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have an interest in God. And you know, if that's true, then we really ought to take this whole subject seriously and be seeking God's will, his kingdom, first. We talked about this over and over in Sunday school. When Adam and Eve stood at that tree, they had to make a choice. If I trust God and his message and don't take that fruit, then I'm part of his kingdom. If I take it in rebellion against God, that I'm seeking after my own kingdom and I'm going to define good and evil on my terms. This is something we need to take seriously, because we're faced with this every day. Every day. Do you define good and evil based on God's definition or on your own definition? If you are defining good and evil based on God's definition, then you need to be seeking the kingdom first, seeking God's will first. And all of a sudden, things may happen in your life that you never, ever expected to happen. Jesus probably did not think about walking on water across that lake And the Spirit directed him to walk on water across that lake. You and I would have said, I'm walking around the lake, because that's the only way to get around. But when we seek God's kingdom first, seek God's will first, amazing things can happen. And we need to take that seriously, folks. Every day. And everything we do. So we're going to spend a couple of weeks talking about seeking God's kingdom. The writer of Matthew, like I said, over 50 times, there are many various examples on how to seek his kingdom. We're going to look at many of them in Matthew so that we can apply them to our lives every day. We have an awesome God who has a son who loves his father and died for your and my spirit that makes us a person. And we have a responsibility. If we are looking to Christ as our example and we want to seek to do the Father's will, seek after the kingdom, while I'm here in this flesh suit, I've got to look on everybody around me as people and not just a body. Jesus looked on the people and had compassion. And we've got to look on people with compassion. Saw that picture in the paper of that Mexican or El Salvadorian man with his child. And it should break our heart for that person. It's not just a body. It's a person that God loves. And if God loves us that much to send his son to die for us, then we as believers who call ourselves Christians better be seeking after the kingdom first, all the time. So that's my challenge for this morning. I want you to think about that. And if you're not seeking God's kingdom first, and he's moving in your heart, you know, don't let this day go by without recommitting your daily life to him. Because you don't know what's going to happen in the next moment. I would rather trust my next moment in God's hands, knowing he's going to take care of me, than try and run my life and control my life. Because I don't know what's going to happen the next moment. So I want to make the kingdom my number one priority and God's will my number one priority. I fail at it. We all do. But it's what I want, and I'm going to work toward it, and I hope we all do. Let's pray this morning.